Welcome to the Joey Show. I'm Joey Avery, episode 11. Oh my, do we have some beautiful things to discuss. There's a lot going on in the world. I'm here in New York. In fact, not long ago, I saw a few very presidential-looking helicopters flying in. Was that Donald Trump coming in on a heli? I think so. That seems to be the big... Look, there's a lot of stories going on. There's the Trump hush money case. I don't really want to spend a lot of time on that, to be quite honest with you. I know it's a sexy story. I know there's a lot of sexual things going on. It's like, ooh, the Inquirer, payoffs, hush money, lawyers who flipped and all that. And I hate to be this guy, but am I the only one who is finding the Trump trials boring? Like, is this really what... Are we really, of all the shit that guy did that I don't like, you know, I don't like trying to overthrow democracy and all that shit, but are we really going to get hung up on an accounting thing? Now, I know what people are thinking. This could be election interference. It could be all these things. Look, my thought on this is very simple. As a guy who is not great at details himself, is that such a crime? A little accounting error here and there? Is that such a crime? Legal experts would say yes, of course. But, you know, sometimes you're ripping through TurboTax and you're like, I think I might have fucked that up. And if that's going to put me in jail, God damn it. All right? We know that guy fucks. That's not news. Is it presidential? No. But is it news? I don't know. I don't want to spend time on this because I think it's boring. They'll figure it out. I'm not too worried about it. My thoughts on the hush money are actually simple. They're this.
I'm not a Trump guy, but it's like, you can admit, it's kind of a sad day in the country when a president gets indicted. It's like, kind of what's happened to this country? Like, hush money used to fucking mean something. You're telling me a president can't pay off a whore one time without getting arrested? What happened? This used to be a great nation. You think Clinton and Kennedy weren't paying off sleuths left and right? I know for a fact they were. You know how I know that? Because I didn't hear about it. Because hush money used to be... All right. Thank God I hear the podcast.
So there it is. The other like mainstream story, and we're just going to plow through these and get to the stuff that I find actually interesting. If I was going to touch on it, I guess Taylor Swift dropping an album or a double album and saying fuck you to Kim Kardashian is a thing. I got to be honest, guys. I don't care. And I think this is important for a few reasons. I'm not saying I don't care because she sucks. I'm not saying I don't care because her music's not good or that she's not important to people or that I'm sick of her. I'm just saying that I don't care. Really, one way or the other. I think that's a take that more people need to embrace with Taylor Swift is if you're not interested, just keep it moving. That's okay. You don't have to fully engage with stuff just because it's popular. If you don't like it, keep it moving. I'm going to be the change that I wish to see in this world. That's why I kept it moving on both Trump and Taylor Swift. Look, they're different. 100%. Trump and Taylor are very different people. However, they both command an army of unsettling white people that I don't necessarily want to piss off right now. You got to have a lot of gumption if you want to come in and fire up either one of those fan bases. You got to be ready to respond to comments and shit. I don't want to do that. Is that okay? Is that okay to not have crazy opinions on either at this time? I realize I am covering it to some extent, but the reason that I think it's important to cover it is just to note that I'm not, and you should feel empowered to do that too. I was at a bar and the album was playing, and I thought this would be. I get how this is nice. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's just not for me. You know, if I was a white chick riding a horse and I'd just been broken up with and I was heartbroken, I had my AirPods in and I wanted to go home and like draw myself a lavender bath and write poetry and shit, bro, I get it. That would slap. I would be into it. But we are who we are, you know? And I'm not saying that my music taste is better. I'm just saying it fits me. What do I throw in? What do I throw in when I'm walking around town? A little Bach, a little Beethoven. That's what I do. Classy guy. I'm lying. I listen to EDM and, you know, some rap and shitty pop. I'm just a normal guy who wants to catch a vibe. Sometimes music isn't an artistic experience for me where sometimes I'm barely even listening to what the words are. I just go, oh, that sounds nice. There are some songs that I have not realized what they were about for a long time because my listening pattern is that self-centered. I think that's okay. I'm using music as my own little boost. I think that's a fine thing. Into the fun stories. This is really, this was the story of the week for me. In that it is what I am most interested in. The Wall Street Journal. Some of us call it the Journal. The Wall Street Journal did a little piece on the secret retreats that have CEOs, VIPs, and billionaires jockeying for invites. That's what I'm interested in. I discussed this on the last episode. I like a good party. I like a good festival. I enjoyed Coachella. As I get older, I realize I'm not going to maybe want to do that forever. So what's the next thing? I want to figure out how to become a guy who goes to these. I want to hang out at these billionaire festivals. And not in the way that, like, look, on the one hand, I look at this stuff and I'm like, this feels a little bit like I went to corporate conferences. When you would do like sales that I did tech sales for a period of time and you'd have these sales kickoff events. And the whole thing is very fascinating. The whole team flies to a different location generally. And then what they would do, this is a very common corporate practice, is they would have like a whole day of programming. So you'd get in there and it would be like, okay, we got the CEO's going to talk. We're going to talk about what's going to happen next quarter. That's going to fire us up. And then we'll have a sales trainer come and he'll be like, this is what you need to do. And then we had Mike Arruzzioni, the guy from Miracle, the Miracle on Ice, Team USA. He came in and was like, fucking, it's all about teamwork, kid. And it was it. And then what everyone does is you watch basically PowerPoints for 10 hours a day. You eat shitty, you know, whatever food they set out. Like, there's some healthy options, but maybe you're hungover. Maybe you get to have a Danish that day. Maybe you have some shitty corporate pastry. And then in the evening, what happens is everyone gets fucked up. And then at least one person will end up getting fired after that weekend because they've done something sexually inappropriate because they're drunk. And you get that many people together are drunk who know each other. And so many of you're mixing in people who don't do that very much. People who don't know how to handle any sort of social situation. And someone's going to do some weird shit. You're going to have a weird power dynamic. Guy's going to try and lick a girl's neck. Okay, these are things that happen. And these days, what's beautiful is you get fired after that. What used to happen is that guy would get promoted. Someone would just be like, I like his spirit. And he would get a new job. And that's how that would work. But the point is, corporate partying is not fun. It's fun in the sense that it is partying, but it's very weird. And you mix in these forced moments where everyone pretends it's like a little bit of value that you're going to gather. But really, everyone's just waiting to get hammered. And I want to know more about these secret retreats. Okay, it starts off out of the gate, this article. The crowd at the St. Regis Hotel in Aspen, Colorado on one weekend last fall was handpicked. And if you had to ask to be invited, you wouldn't be on the list. Guests including Ron Howard, Carly Kloss, and Goldman Sachs chief executive David Solomon were given barber vests. What's a barber vest? See, this is already valuable because I think what we all need to figure out is it's very simple. There are people who have made their way into the billionaire class by inventing genius, unbelievable products or just being first to market, stealing an idea, whatever. Some people have kind of earned their way there. A lot of people have just kind of figured out what you need to do to be around them. And that's what I think this episode is mostly going to be about, is how can we ourselves become billionaires simply by blending in. It's not about adding value. This is one thing that I have learned. The more people that I have been around who are successful, who are at a high level, it's two things. Sometimes you do add value and you're actually offering a lot and people want to be around you. And then there's always within that person's orbit a few other people who just kind of figured it out. And I'm wondering if this vest helps. Okay, barber vest. Guys, this is only, there's 100 and, okay, yeah, it's like a quilted vest. Vineyard Vines sells them. Orvis, I don't know about Orvis. That sounds a little too poor. Oh, Barber's official site. Okay, whatever it is. So, again, this is not even an exciting gift for a billionaire, but they're doing it. Okay. So here are some of the things you get to do. You can go on a walk and talk with Olympic running champion Allyson Felix. I didn't even know who the fuck that is. Take a golf clinic with professional golfer Michael Block. Or bike with General David Petraeus. Well, that's it. That's an interesting... Biking with General David Petraeus is a very... This is the former director of the Central Intelligence Agency... And we're just going to go on a bike with him? This is where people get very conspiratorial about things. This is kind of the like Hillary Clinton was giving speeches to Goldman Sachs. Why was she making $250K? Because people don't care. They're really just paying her to be around. Okay? What is Petraeus like? What's the interplay? Why does the former director of the CIA want to go on a bike ride with a bunch of nerds wearing barber vests? He's done a lot of things. He oversaw all coalition forces in Iraq. And that went well. And so, look, I'm not one of those guys who's like, if you were in the military, you're not allowed to, like, be interesting. I'm fascinated by it. What did we talk about last episode? I was at the Pentagon. But going to a billionaire fundraiser and going for a bike ride with the guy who oversaw the coalition forces in Iraq is just kind of an odd ride. First of all, are we even chatting much? Or are we biking? Stop mixing up socializing and working out. You can't do both. If you want to work out, you should be out of breath. Okay, so now what are we just... I'm just breathing heavily next to the former director of the CIA. And Jesus Christ. Such an odd thing. But this is what I'm saying. I want to go to this. This is my type of event. Not because I think it's that fun, but because I want to treat it like it is. Like, I want to go to this event... But I want to approach it the same way that I approach Coachella, that I would approach Burning Man. I think a lot of people go to this event and they see an opportunity. They're like, look, I'm going to be around all these famous people. They go on to say in this article, Elon Musk is at this event. Mark Benioff hosts events where he likes to get people around, has 25 people around a table. They're all chatting. You know, this is how it can be a helpful connector. Sam Altman, who I believe is the head of OpenAI. He connected with his most important investor, Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella, at Allen & Co.'s annual July conference. Disney finance chief, okay, and CEO Bob Iger got some FaceTime over lunch at the same event. This is where things are happening. This is where you can connect. And if you have something to bring to the table, you might find someone else. It's a good way. People want to be... with like-minded individuals, people who can offer them something, which is why I want to go, because I would have nothing to offer, and I would just treat this like a classic three-day rage. I think that's the way to do it. I mean, get there and just start pre-gaming heavy and just be like, what are set times? Okay, do we have DJs playing? Are we going to get, is Cascade on at 11? Great. General David Petraeus is on at 8? Okay. We're going that. I want to be front row wearing a full Coachella outfit, maybe even bringing back the headdress, because I think at a place like this, they'd be like, fuck it. Who cares? They're not. This is an anti-cancellation crowd. Okay. I'm there. I'm dialed in. My face is painted. Okay. I may be, I'm talking to Elon Musk, but I'm off some orange Teslas. You know what I mean? And I'm just raging. This is my Coachella. And to all of them, they're being dorks trying to treat it like a little meeting. I do want to, I mean, these do look amazing. I didn't realize there was a whole circuit of these, which I find to be fascinating. Wall Street Journal. This is the type of journalism I would like to do. I do not want to be embedded with a wartime group in Ukraine figuring out what's going on in the front line. This is the type of investigative journalism that I would do. I'll go to Sicily. I will go to Sicily and I will find out what Jared Leto and Alexis Ohanian are chatting about with Gary Vee. This was all at one in Stockholm, apparently. Cocktails garnished with slices of fresh watermelon. I'm surprised they even have sugar at these sorts of events. This strikes me as more of a California sober thing where everyone's like, no one's fucked up, but everyone's done like a bit of mushrooms. But they're like, no, 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 they're helping. Dog, you're doing drugs. It's okay. Everyone's trying to hide their like, look, you shouldn't glorify substance abuse, but I'm sick of people hiding it. All right. Stop pretending like you're not doing what you're doing. Even caffeine. Yes, we're doing that because it's a drug. Okay? I'm not doing it for that. I've read all the articles about caffeine. They're like, actually, coffee is really good and it can help with X, Y, or Z other thing. Not why I'm doing it. I'm trying to rocket ship. I have perceived that I am in a normal state of consciousness. I feel like there's something I could do to elevate it, even if it's going to hurt me in the long term, and I've taken that course of action. That's everything. That includes, yes, you, who's microdosing mushrooms and acid. Look, that's okay. Just because you're sending emails while you're doing it doesn't mean you're not having a little send. You are. Otherwise, you could just sit there and be sober, but you don't want to. And that is fine. It's beautiful. Just realize what you're doing. All right? We all got to stop lying to one another. Unless we want to get into one of these billionaire events, in which case I would lie to get in. I would like to go. I mean, it looks fun. They have a little breakdown. So apparently there's one called The Weeknd. Now we're cooking. I love that branding. The fact that a bunch of former virgins, you know, guys who I imagine did not fuck until they were like 38. God bless. They focused. They're billionaires now. They did a good job. Got together and they're like, what do we need to do to like tell people that this is The Weeknd to be at? And someone in the corner is just like, that's it right there. That's it right there. It's The Weeknd. We're doing The Weeknd. And they're like, what do you mean? No, we need a name. And they're like, what is in a name? No, it's branding. We're going to be The Weeknd. That's The Weeknd. It's the Coca-Cola of weekends. We're The Weeknd. At the St. Regis in Aspen, Colorado. That's the king. That's the one. Okay. Media Slopes, a.k.a. Slopes. Ah. That would have been, see, that's one of those where you assume, okay, they're doing coke, but I don't think that they do anymore. I think that was 80s. I think coke is out. Held at the Deer Valley Resort in Park City, Utah. I don't think coke in Utah is too much. Slalom race. The Univision CEO, Wade Davis, has won the slalom race. Take Two CEO Strauss Zelnick teaches high-impact fitness classes. Is that... Wow, we might be having his son on the podcast. I'll ask him about this. This will be great, actually. A game show-style quiz focused on tech and media trends. Oh, Margot Robbie will be there. I love the mix of... We need a few celebrities. So they get kind of weird ones who can just talk vaguely about greatness. Like they're saying, they have that Olympic sprinter. You know? And so that's why there's just... There's some guy who's... There has to be with all these, there are people who are cool and invited, and then other people who they use the other cool invites to just get them to go, and then they can milk in off those people. But I want to get to one of these, and I think I can. It's horrible. These are the type of things that you eventually get invited to perform at. Looks like Jerry Seinfeld has performed at one of these. But it's a horrible place to perform. It's actually hell. I'll tell this story. I had to do a corporate gig, or it was a corporate gig. It was a party gig. It was for, I will just say, a famous celebrity in the comedic field, but like an actor who's been in massive movies, who's been on SNL, who's done all this. It was a family member of this person. And I got booked to do stand-up comedy at this event. And I was like, well, this is very exciting. You know, this is a family that enjoys comedy, that will enjoy getting to watch a comedian kind of do their thing. And I am very optimistic. I just show up and I'm like, yep, I'm going to crush. Well, that's not exactly how it went. I got there and what you realize when you perform at an event for people that are there because they want to network is you are just eating up their time. And everyone in that room thinks they're the most important person in there, which is not really a great vibe when you're trying to perform. So I went up. I did about 15 minutes. I was supposed to do maybe 40. And I did about 15. I rifled through the premises of about 40 minutes of jokes because I'm up there. The microphone won't extend. I'm tethered to a DJ booth. They're getting dinner served. No one knew comedy was happening. There was not a stage. Okay, I'm standing up there. Pasta gets served. I'm getting nothing. All right, I rifle through about 30 minutes worth of premises in 12 minutes. I'm just picking stuff up, setting it down, moving on from everything. I try to do crowd work on a guy. He says, yeah, next. Oh, God. Pasta dish comes out, pasta course comes out, and the guy who had booked me literally just went, yeah, I think you're good. And I was like, yeah, I think I am too. And I went and I was about to leave, and the one person, the celebrity at the event, was like, why don't you sit down and just have some food? I was like, no, I need to get out of here. And she was like, no, sit down. I ended up sitting with her and her dad, and we had a lovely night. And the most beautiful part was I never had to go back up on stage. But one thing I'll always remember is that I will never talk to anyone from that event ever again, because that was an embarrassment to me and my craft. And that's what it's like when you perform at any of these. So you could do that. I like, that's the thing, is like, on the one hand, yeah, I'd like to go as a comedian. That would be fun. But then it's bad. Then you go up, then you bomb. Now I can't talk to Bezos anymore. We can't talk to each other about ripping testosterone and getting biceps as old men. I don't get to go on the space shuttle. I want to go on the space shuttle. So when I talk about these things, like, what I'm saying is yes, I want to infiltrate, but also I do feel like if anyone's at a party in a cool location, I genuinely and truly believe that I deserve to be there. And when I'm there, I don't want to work. I want to have fun. That's the balance with these weekends. Everyone goes out there like, okay, I'm going to meet some people. And look, I may not be a very successful person for this exact reason. But when I go to those things, I'm there to rage. And whoever I pick up along the way is someone who gets to stay in my orbit. Okay? And that's great. But I only want someone with a good vibe. I don't care who you are. I really don't care. If Benioff's there, if Elon Musk is there, if my boy Satya is there, if you're not cool, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to go. I'm going to make an impact. All right? I'm going to rage. And I don't care. I don't care which one of these we're at. I don't care if it's the weekend. I don't care if it's Slopes. I don't care if it's Google Camp. I don't care if it's Brilliant Minds. I'm having a good time. And you better be with me. Okay? I want to go to one of these. Fuck. Looks beautiful. I think I just like resort life. I think I like resort living. You know, I've spent a lot of time when I've traveled trying to do real travel experiences. And I think that as I get older, I want fake travel experiences. I think those are nice. Just a really nice and unsustainably nice, like, you feel uncomfortable when you're there when you're younger because you know you don't belong. But then when you, ideally, you get old and wealthy enough to become an entitled piece of shit, and then you're like, okay, this thread count makes sense. I deserve this. I want to get there. I don't think I'm there yet. Well, perhaps one day. Until then, I do want to also discuss a video I saw about a group of people that I've had thoughts about for a long time.
People don't call people baseball adults. Why don't they call them Disney adults? We're Disney adults. We enjoy Disney as children. We enjoy them. We enjoy Disney as adults. Why do we have to be, you know, named Disney adults? No one else is. You're not a football adult if you played football as a child and now you go to football games.
Right.
I mean,
and we don't judge at all. Yeah, go to football. Go to the games. Paint your face. Wear your little cute little.
Yeah. You guys have a mascot that you like to take pictures of too. So don't be mad at me for taking a picture of Mickey Mouse.
Disney adults. This I do want to say, and I think a lot of people have. They jump to conclusions, so much so that I think this is the only video on that account that had the comments turned off, because the comments are going to feel some kind of way about it. I don't want to pile on right now. I'm not going to jump right in on Disney adults, because I think they've made some decent logical points there. Logic, not necessarily something I would have fully expected. I see what they're saying. We're all fans of things. I'm a football fan. And when you go to these things, sometimes you behave childish. You're so excited. You're crying. You're up. You're down. Oh my God, this is a big thing. And that's just fandom. And that's what they're defending, is they have their own fandom. And the one thing that I think that they're missing is that almost all of them are really weird. And that's okay. I'm not saying people who go to Disney. I'm saying people that make it a centerpiece of their entire life. Because what they're doing is taking a fake world and living in it almost to completion. Now, I do think they could make the same point about some football fans, some basketball fans. Like I said, I like sports. I think it's important. It is a little bit more real than Disney, let's be fair. But the Disney adults, they get a lot of shit. And I think that a lot of people assume that they are living in a state of suspended growth. And in fairness to them, I think that can happen to anybody, right? Theirs is a little bit earlier. Theirs is about like 7, 8, stuck there. I mean, that woman is dressed like Snow White. That's something. That is something, you know? Like, I don't... Wearing a jersey is different than dressing in... than basically wearing the pads. You know, it's a little different. And the thing is that you can... Football can be with you for a lot of parts of your life. And I'm sure that that's true for Disney too. But if you're dressing up as Snow White a lot and you're going to Disneyland a lot and you really care about it and you think it's the center of your world, it's just going to be one of those things where people do think you're weird. And look, I'm not saying that it's not okay to be weird. I think it's lovely to be weird. But sometimes they go off and they say things like this. And that's an ad. We'll pause for the ad, and here we go.
I like to joke. I tell my friends, and I have told my wife that I would like my ashes spread there.
Isn't now, that a little, though?
Okay.
So, that's a lot. And I do want to be fair to this man. Let him go further. Is he kidding? He says he's kidding, right?
A little, though.
Now, okay.
I'm sure that is. But people do it. I've seen that.
Really?
I'm totally joking.
He's totally joking. Okay, that's fair. Hold on. Let's see if he...
Well, sort of. But the problem is, if you do take the ashes there and you drop them there, they will ban you for life.
So that's why he's joking, is because of the technicality that whoever he makes... bring his ashes to Disneyland and drop him there, that person would have the unbearable burden of not being able to go back to Disneyland. And he couldn't bear to do that to other people. This is where it does get serious. Okay? Disneyland is a fake world. That's fun. That's good. It's nice to indulge in fantasy. It's a beautiful thing. But when it's so serious to you, that you are kidding, not kidding, actually kind of serious on a technicality, that you want to have someone bring your ashes to Disneyland and dump them there, so that's where you exist forever, it betrays the reality that you are stuck in something that isn't real and you are a little obsessed in a weird way, okay? And I think it kind of comes down to this. You need other shit in your life. Everyone does, okay? Because fandom is so big and important now, no one really has to grow up. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, okay? It's fun to have things that you're into. That's a healthy outlet. But I'm looking at three adults sitting around a table who are not going, in my opinion, to achieve the sorts of things that you should achieve as a happy adult in this life. And everyone has a right to their own happiness. And people are going to kill me for this. I know it. People are going to say, that's fucked up. Everyone's own happiness is their own. You only live once, all this shit. But I do think you need to break out of bullshit old cycles to appreciate the stuff you're supposed to as an adult. And maybe we all should grow up a little bit. We don't get to just keep doing things because they're popular and cool now. But I think that what these Disney people are doing, maybe it's a little bit similar to the billionaire retreat. Maybe this is just their version of that. They don't have access to the barber vest. They don't have access to go cycling with General David Petraeus. And when they don't have that sort of access, what do? They gotta outsource it. They gotta go to a place that makes them happy, that makes them feel like they're at a magical retreat, that makes them feel like they're with the people who hold the answers. And maybe that's Mickey, who holds the answer to happiness for them. But if you're Mark Benioff, that happiness comes from going for a bike ride with the commander of the coalition forces in Iraq. And I just think that everyone does have their own mascots, and maybe everyone does not really grow up and get stuck in their own retreats and their own little ways. Maybe we should send the Disney adults to the billionaire retreat just to break things up a little bit. I think that would be a fun group to just have Sam Altman talking about how artificial intelligence is going to change the landscape of technology and how that stock is going to 100-fold, 1,000-fold. It's going to be the biggest technology, the most life-changing technology of anything that we've ever done, and we can't restrict it. We can't restrict it at all, because if we restrict it, then China's going to have that power, and that power needs to lie in the free Western states. It needs to lie with the people that go to the weekend. And he's talking to this woman who's just like, I actually like Minnie Mouse. I also like as well as Mickey Mouse, because I think that Minnie is actually beautiful. And that's how I learned to do pigtails. And they're both the exact same age. And maybe those are both equally good things. Maybe they are. But I want to see them together. That's the retreat I want. The Mark Benioff Salesforce.com back of the line Disney retreat. The people who are literally like, the people who consider paradise. So half of these people consider paradise a Fairmont, a St. Regis. The other half of these people consider paradise the line at Pirates of the Caribbean. Just the walk in. That's what they, that's to them, that's paradise. And maybe they're both right, because maybe they're both fake. And maybe we're all denying reality. Maybe we should take the billionaire retreat and the Disney retreat, and we should both actually send them to Crimea and see who actually fares best, and see if maybe that little dose of reality doesn't change some people's minds. And I'm not saying that we all should go through horrible things so that we're forced to grow up. No, we should be able to live in bliss when we can. But it'd be interesting to just see if it shook things up the tiniest bit. What would the next billionaire retreat be like? What would Disney be like if all these people said one quick snippet, one quick check? I don't want to find out for myself. I've been very clear about this. I deeply want to become disconnected as much as I can. No, that's not true. I think we should all, I want to explore it all. That's what I want. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. I'd go to both. I would go to Disney with a Disney adult. I would love to, because I've been to Disney with adults who enjoy going there. That's different. Disney adult is different. We know that. Okay. I'm talking like squealing, like, it's Goofy. It's Goofy. I want to see them like that. I want to experience that. I do. Not because I just want to be near it so I can watch it. Probably film it, you know? And I think I'm just as interested to be that fly on the wall as I am to be at the billionaire retreat. I want access to different worlds, okay? And I'm going to figure out how to do it. Okay, moving on. I mentioned Sam Altman there. He's an AI guy. I noticed an interesting AI story. Speaking of getting caught up in a fake world, now this takes us into a world where we're covering a few things. Netflix has a new number one show about Jennifer Pan, not Peter Pan. Jennifer Pan also wanted to be a child forever. Maybe no. In fact, the opposite. Jennifer Pan hired a hit person to take out her parents, and she did so I guess you could say a sloppy way, in that she got caught, in that she got caught so much that she is now the star of a new Netflix series, their new number one show. It's called What Jennifer Did. This follows on the wave of what has really taken over streaming services. As streaming services went from, we need to get prestige, we need to win awards, and then eventually realize, like, we need to churn out some fucking shit. Because it's a numbers game, baby. And that's what we need to do. And this is a piece of the very robust true crime family. And I'm not saying all true crime is shit. I'm not willing to lose every female listener that I have. Okay? True crime can be great. There are some great groundbreaking true crime stories. In fact, I believe on HBO Max, The Jinx 2 just came out about Robert Durst, in which the reporting itself made a breakthrough in the case. That is good stuff. This one I actually have not even watched, but it's called What Jennifer Did, and I watched some trailers about it. I read the whole story. I feel like I got the gist from what I can understand. It's just one of those true crimes that just lays out the story. So if you know the story, you're not going to be that shocked. Number one on Netflix, though, good for them. It's because people like it. You get hooked in. It's sticky. It's like, once you've watched a few of them, you're like, ooh, I want to disappear into a mystery. And I also think it's very popular with women because they like storytelling, and a lot of these stories are about bad things happening to women. And I think there's a realistic, like, I don't want that to happen to me. Maybe I can learn a few things, you know, but you're invested, right? We all want to be invested in everything. I talked about sports earlier. It's when your home team's playing, I'm invested. You know, I do think it's actually even similar. Like, I think maybe there's even a narcissistic element. Like, I think maybe some of the reason that I watch sports is because I wish I was out there. What does it feel like? I want to know, what does it feel like to have the whole town looking at you, you know? And I think for women sometimes, especially if it's a woman disappears story or whatever, they're maybe thinking, what is it like to have a whole town looking for you? And in both cases, we just want fans and eyeballs. That's possible. I don't know. It's a theory. Either way, what's interesting about this What Jennifer Did story is that there are allegations that they used AI-generated photography for previous photos of Jennifer. There's a good article in the SF Gate. We support the SF Gate. Shout out to Grant Merrick. Andrew Chamings here, reporting for the SF Gate, believes that the Netflix true crime machine has crossed the line by doctoring these photos. I'm going to put the photo up here, and then we're going to zoom, check that out. Her hands are effed 8 ways from Sunday, and not in the way that my anonymous whistleblower from a few episodes earlier want them to be. No, AI, if you've ever used it, it has a bit of a problem with fingers. And as you can see from this photo, complete botchery on the hand job, if you will. I should note that one of the people involved with the making of it, his claim is that they used Photoshop to doctor the background of the image to obscure the identity of the person who provided it. I find that, as someone who has used Photoshop, to be a little sketchy, unless they really, really suck at Photoshop, because it's easy to do. Here's why this is an issue. One, it's an issue just because they got caught. Two, it's an issue because if we're using it for a crime doc, of which we are churning out more and more and more. Now, we're using this to kind of tell a story. I'm not saying this is going to be in a court of law, but you're telling a tale. Apparently, they used these because a friend said she was fun, she was bubbly, and they needed a photo of that. And so maybe they took a photo of her, they AI'd it, they changed it a little bit to make her look fun and bubbly. Maybe they couldn't find photos of her being fun and bubbly. Why does that matter? Well, maybe she wasn't. And that changes the story. Now, that being said, I do have empathy for this. As someone who's worked on a few projects, sometimes you're just like, this person said that. We need a visual. Cook. Cook it up. Who gives a fuck? Let's go. Let's get it done. Okay. And as I had mentioned earlier, I don't really want to hang someone out to dry over matters of attention to detail that I wouldn't necessarily adhere to myself. Maybe this is like the Trump hush money campaign. Maybe it's just someone moving fast. Let's find out what the actual goal was and let them get away with it if it's not a big deal. But it is a bit of a problem if we're going to be using AI-generated imagery in mass-consumed true crime level stories, because as we know, people become fans of these things and they start freaking the hell out. Everyone has an opinion. They think they know what happened. They start trying to be a detective. They want to get involved. Now people could be working off of AI generated imagery. It could be sending people down these different rabbit holes. It could be screwing people up. Okay. People get lost in stuff. What do we talk about? What do we talk about with Disney? What do we talk about with the billionaires? We can all get caught up in some shit. So it is a little scary. I'm worried about it because this is just what people have been caught doing. Every time AI gets used for something and people find out, everyone freaks out. And I think the reason we freak out is because we don't know when it's done well. We only know when it's done poorly. And it's going to keep getting better and better and better. And people with questionable ethics are going to potentially use it. And this is going to change outcomes and public opinion on real life stories. I know this is entertainment to us, so we're having fun with it. This girl killed her parents, okay? Now, why did she kill her parents? Of course, you do have to examine that. They didn't let her have fun. And that is gonna, I mean, you gotta let kids have a little fun. This is a classic, Catholic, you know, this classic private schoolgirl dilemma. You know, guys in high school be like, oh, that's private. You get, yeah. You know, then those guys were creeps. I never trafficked in that. But I was in these circles. I heard people talk. And I was like, that's enough. All right? Don't you dare say that, that their repression led to a good time in the bedroom. Don't you dare say that that had a positive outcome. Ever. Okay? This one, not as much fun. So, because, yes, yeah, she, instead of kind of hoeing it up, she killed her parents. So that was worse. And I think that is bad. I'm not excusing that, but they were pretty intense with her. She had to lie about her grades. They forced her to take classes she wasn't good at. She had to lie about all sorts of things just to get around. She was trying to hang out with some guy and then they wouldn't let her see her. So she's trying to sneak out. But then that guy ends up with another girl and she's like, that's it. I'll just kill my parents. I don't think that was the right way to go. But as someone I know, I'm never going to do that to my parents. So as someone who's going to be a parent, what's my takeaway? I'm going to let my kids cook. Got to let your kids cook a little bit. Hey, don't be the fun, weird parent who's like, why don't you party at our house and everyone can be weird and your friends can all get high and have sex upstairs. That's bad. Don't do that. That's creepy. Also jail. Okay. But parent who understands, what do you want your kid to be, a loser? Yes. You kind of do. That would be great. But only if your kid actually is that kid. If my kid's like, dude, I just really, 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 I just really want to play violin. I just really want to play violin and I just want to get good at math and I want to design rockets for NASA and I want to be a good person. Then I'll be like, that's great. Do that. Do that, young man, young woman, young whatever. Do that. But that's unlikely, knowing me. I think that the kid's going to want to have a little fun, and they need to have that. Otherwise, they might kill you. And that's why you really got to make sure as a parent, hey, let's let some steam off. Okay? Let's all be a little more honest. I think that's the problem with the AI thing. We all need to be a little bit more honest about what's going on. As a parent, you need to be honest. Your kid's a kid. Yes, you want to push them in the right direction, but they have their own life. You got to be honest. If you're that kid and your parents are being hard on you, okay, don't just lie. Sometimes push back. Don't call a hitman. Don't. Just be honest, okay? And if you're making a documentary about two groups who didn't do that and you don't have a photo for something, maybe you need to be a little bit honest too, okay? Because otherwise bad things happen and people are now freaking out. But also it's the number one show, so maybe this is just helping. Maybe this is just helping. But people are using all sorts of things. We have one more story here. Reuters reporting that North Koreans may have helped create Western cartoons. Well, that's not great, is it? Or is it? This is where I get caught up. Okay, maybe that is, like, apparently, so here's what happened. Some U.S. streamers and studios have outsourced their creation. Sometimes they outsource that creation to China, and I don't know if you realize what happens when you outsource. Sometimes they outsource. So you're going down the line, everyone's skimming a little bit of money off the top. Next thing we know, we're making Tom and Jerry straight from Pyongyang, and it's probably making them hungry, to be honest with you. Not to be rude, but I've heard that they eat rat. But some people say that's not true. I don't know what goes on in North Korea. I just know I want to go. Let's put up a photo of Pyongyang. I'm fascinated by this place. I would like to go. If you can see the photo. If not, you can just always Google it. Pyongyang has a very fascinating thing about it, in that it has a full skyline with zero ads. Not one advertisement. I'm not saying that's a utopia. The reason they don't have ads is because they have a brutally repressive regime that does not allow any sort of competition, that is very communist, that represses its own people, that is horrible, that is mean, that will hurt you if you go, which is why I'm not going to be allowed to go there, even though I would like to, even though it also wouldn't be very fun. But this is against U.S. law, but I can't find myself but hoping maybe an animator out there made a little money. That's how humbling is that? That you're sitting in a studio in Burbank and you're like, yeah, let's just have someone else do this. And some dude is in Pyongyang animating this thing on a frying pan hooked up to a ham radio. And they got the job done. Maybe we should all work harder. Okay? Maybe North Korea is who's responsible for what happened in the true crime show. Maybe they outsourced that and it came through. And now we have this whole mix, this whole soup of people not being honest, okay? And it's leading to global consequences. And we can't have that anymore. We all need to get on the same page, okay? Billionaires at retreats, Disney adults, North Korean animators, mean parents and daughters who kill, and the lying animators at Netflix who AI'd that 100%. I think we all just need to get on the same page. Okay, be a little bit more honest. Be a little bit better. Let's do something great today. Let's all get barber vests. Let's figure out a way into the billionaire retreats. Let's do it together. Let's do it as a group. That is this week's show. I am getting a phone call, so I should really hurry up. But please, please, live show, joeyavery.com/live. Tons of tickets coming up this weekend. We are in Arizona. We've got Norfolk. We've got Fargo. We've got Dallas, we have just announced San Diego, we have just announced Chicago, we have just announced Vancouver, we have just announced Edmonton. We've got a great batch of shows coming up. Thank you guys so much for listening to this. Please subscribe on the new YouTube channel, the Joey Show Podcast channel. That is where future episodes are going to be. I think maybe we're doing one or two more on the main Joey Avery YouTube. Then we're going to move over to this one so that this show can be its own thing, separate from stand-up, separate from everything else, because it's definitely being that. Other than that, I love you very much. Thank you for listening. Be great today. Be honest today. Have a bike ride with General David Petraeus today. We'll see you next week. Please subscribe to the podcast. Hit the smashing and the liking and the YouTube button for my podcast. I hope everyone listening makes love tonight. To the sound of my podcast. While you're getting up inside, they're smashing the guts. Not to be cruel.